Teaching will be Forrest and Patty Smith. They have been from Richmond, Virginia, but they are in the process right now of moving to Searcy, Arkansas. And so this has been a very busy week for them, and we are thankful that they've taken time out from that busy moving season to come and join us. Their topic this morning is how to help us overcome our fear of teaching others. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this new morning. Thank you for this week, this weekend, and for all that we will experience. Father, thank you for the words that will be spoken. Thank you for the challenges that will be issued. Thank you that we have ears to hear. And would you open our hearts and help us to receive the message. Father, fill us with your strength. Fill us with your spirit. And help us learn better how to overcome our fear of spreading your name throughout the worlds that we live in. Would you bless Forrest and Patty as they speak? Fill them with words from you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. And we're looking forward to sharing with you for the next, well, this morning and the next two mornings, a couple of lessons that over the years we've learned a few practical hints about how to share with our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers about Jesus and our faith. We're going to also present some practical tools as well for you. And I'd like to thank my daughter in the back who's going to change our slides. And I'm going to raise my hand. I'm not like lifting holy hands in prayer, or I'm not spasming. It's just me indicating that we need to change a slide. So anyway, so we have these cats with fear factor, and they're eating cat food. And, you know, you've got these people on TV that are eating bugs. And so sometimes the natives are right, you know, some bugs are delicacies once you've eaten them. And it's kind of like sharing your faith. After you've done it a couple of times, you find out that sharing your faith is a delicacy. It just takes some practice getting past the first bug. So anyway, so the objectives of what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about overcoming our fear of sharing our faith. And then Friday, we're going to talk about how to conduct a Bible study. And that's going to be a very practical presentation. We're going to provide you with some practical tips. And we're also going to provide you a CD that's free that you can take home. And it actually has a six-lesson series called the Life Series that you're going to be able to take with you. You're free to burn CDs and give them to your friends. And it has a complete presentation of the gospel. It's also a one-on-one presentation that you can use to share the gospel with your friends, neighbors, and coworkers. And we've used it to convert many people to Christ. And then we're going to give you some ideas about how to present the gospel and other methods like the gospel on a napkin and a couple of other ideas that maybe you hadn't thought of. And then on Saturday, we're going to show you how to follow up a Bible study. What do you do once a person becomes a Christian? Or what do you do? What if you've presented the gospel and they haven't become a Christian? What do you do with that? How do you deal with that issue? So we're going to, today's title, of course, is Overcoming Our Fear of Teaching Others. So the objectives of the day today is we're going to cover these things today. We're going to demonstrate today that fear occurred in the New Testament disciples who shared their faith. And we're going to look at Paul, who had difficulties in overcoming his fear. So that's one objective we're going to cover. We're going to teach that one key to sharing our faith begins with personal relationships. We're going to teach you how to initiate spiritual conversations. And then another objective is we're going to provide examples of how we can respond in difficult situations. So that's what we're going to cover today. I'm sure we can identify with this, with Herbert Drover. We got these kids here who are looking at a plaque of Herbert Drover, and it says, Herbert Drover, intent on one-on-one evangelism, froze into his current state on June 17, 1982, when he finally tried to speak to someone. And I'm sure we can all identify with this, with Herbert Drover. And we want to get kind of past Herbert Dover's condition and feel comfortable with sharing our faith. And we believe part of that is just learning how to develop personal relationships with people. And we've got some practical tips for that today.
You know, I think that in our mind as a Christian, that there's no doubt that God wants us to share our faith. And we've got this obstacle, you know, in front of us. Why is it so difficult for us? What is it that we're afraid of? You know, are we afraid of being rejected? Are we afraid that somebody's going to ridicule us? Are we afraid that we'll look too pushy? Are we afraid that we'll lose a friend or that someone will respond negatively to us? You know, are we afraid that you don't know enough about the Bible and that you won't be able to answer a question? Are we afraid somebody's going to argue with us? Are we afraid that we're going to be persecuted in some way? And, you know, what is it that makes us so afraid? Is it that this message is so important that we know that our speaking to this person and sharing our faith could change their life eternally? It's such an important message, but we're so afraid of that.
You know, Paul struggled with fears. He struggled with his own fears about the gospel. You know, Christians had been martyred and imprisoned for sharing their faith, and his life was in danger any time he opened his mouth to share the gospel. And in Ephesians, we read, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I will declare it fearlessly as I should." So Paul's praying that for them to pray for him because of his fear. And then he wants them to pray that he'll declare it fearlessly. And so prayer was an important part of Paul's life. And so he's asking for the church in Ephesus to pray for him to declare it fearlessly as he should. Another example, and this is in actually 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." And so what we see with Paul was that when he approached the church in Corinth, it was with weakness and fear and much trembling. And so what he did was he came with fear and weakness and trembling, but yet what he relied on was the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within him, to provide the words to speak to the church. And so what we do in our Bible studies is we rely on the Holy Spirit to provide the words that we need and the power to say what we need to say to the person that we meet. And that's a big part of what we'll talk about with our sharing our faith. Another passage is in Philippians 1:14. It says, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word more courageously and fearlessly." So even the church had difficulty with fear. And yet, because of Paul's example, they had more courage to declare their faith. And so, now I'm spasming. Okay. We're to declare. So one of the things that we can do is we can pray. And this is an important thing. Pray that God will provide opportunities. That God will open up the door of opportunities for us to speak to others. Another one is the prayer of boldness. Remember in Acts chapter 4, the church prayed for boldness. And so the Holy Spirit filled them, and they spoke the word with boldness. So the Spirit and prayer have a tremendous impact on our ability to be bold in how we approach other people. And third is to entreat the Spirit to provide us with the words, the correct words to say to people. Now, I want to say this one thing, and that is, people are like fingerprints. No two are the same. And so if you expect a methodology in terms of sharing your faith with each person, you're probably not going to find it, because what you're going to say to each person is different. And so when God brings you two together, it's because they like you and you like them, and there's something unique about your relationship with them. And so what you say to them is going to be because of your unique relationship with them.
And one key factor to sharing our faith is personal relationships. And I would say that practically every Bible study that we've had began with some sort of personal relationship with a person. You know, God puts us in a particular place, and I firmly believe that He places us where He wants us to be, and He gives us the people that He wants us to influence. And the people I encounter during my short life on earth are not the same people that you will encounter. And so it's important for us to look around us and be aware of the people that we encounter and say, what am I supposed to do with this person? Is this someone who needs to hear what God has to say to them? Am I the vehicle for that? Am I the voice for that? Because we are God's voice on earth. You know, if we don't open our mouths and share, then it's not going to get done. And one evangelist or one person from the pulpit cannot do that. He gave this job to us individually as Christians. And these relationships develop over time. They're friends that you meet, they're coworkers, they're neighbors. And as you get to know them, you find that you have things in common with them. You may have social activities. You may go golfing with them, or go fishing, or go shopping, or you have them for dinner, and you get to know each other. And you, as a natural course of events, get to know them as a person, their background, you know, what kind of family they're from, what they like. And all of these things can help you, give you information so that you can know how to approach that person when it's time to speak to them about God and about how God has influenced your life. I have an example of, I'm a nurse, and I had a coworker who was working on her clinical ladder portfolio. That's like a career advancement thing. And she didn't know how to type. And the whole thing had to be typewritten. And it was a fairly lengthy process. And so I really hardly knew her, but something had told me that she needed God. It had been on my heart. And so I said, well, let me help you with that. Come on over and we'll work on this together. And we spent hours sitting at the computer composing this portfolio with me helping her. And that built a bond with her that eventually led to a Bible study. And she is a faithful Christian now. And it's all because we opened our mouths, you know, that we opened our homes and we said, hey, you know, let's get to know you. And I didn't do it with an ulterior motive. You know, I did it because she needed something, and as Christian, I felt like it was something I could provide. But if it had just been me helping her with her portfolio, and I had never brought God into the picture, nothing would have been different. She would have gotten her advancement, and that would have been the end of it. So we eventually have to open our mouths and start this conversation. Now, I must say that I think the most difficult thing that we have to do, that we have to overcome, is initiating that spiritual conversation. How do we open it up? And I must confess to you that I am afraid every single time I open my mouth and try to share my faith with someone. Every single time. I mean, there's this roaring in my ears, and my mind is paralyzed, and my heart races, and my hands sweat, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say? You know, what if I say it wrong? You know, and I've done this a lot, but I still get scared. Why do we get so afraid? I mean, what is it that makes us so afraid? And, you know, we have to overcome this obstacle, because I dare say that you guys experience the same thing. You know, you want to share it. You have things you want to say. And you know God's involved in it. But it's so hard to open our mouths and actually say those words. But once we do, once we open those doors for spiritual conversations, we're going to find that God gives us all kinds of opportunities to share with people. It's going to come about naturally, and we have to be bold. We have to listen for clues, look for opportunities to speak, and, you know, be bold. I think God wants us to be bold, to not be afraid, and not to be pushy. And we're not suggesting that we be the kind of Christian that walks around and every other word out of our mouth is Jesus and bringing religion into everything. I think you understand what I'm saying, that we have to be in tune with people, and we have to be willing to open our mouth and bring up spiritual things. And, you know, it's not politically correct to talk about spiritual things. You know, people are afraid. And, you know, your faith and salvation doesn't come up in everyday conversation. typically. Does anybody think it does? I mean, it has to deliberately be brought up. And so what we're suggesting to you is that you find some ways to bring up spiritual topics. And we're going to give you some suggestions now on ways that you can bring up spiritual concepts and be in tune with the people. You know, you're going to be able to tell when you bring something up if they're interested. You know, if they're totally not interested, then you move on. But you're going to have people that you bring spiritual topics up with, and they're going to latch right onto it. And it's going to just take off because they've been looking for it. Because remember, God is active, and the Spirit is active, and He wants everyone in this world to hear about Him. He wants everyone in this world to be saved. And so He has prepared hearts for you. When you open your mouth and you begin that spiritual conversation, He's gotten that person ready. They are ready. They may have been waiting for you for years and just for that moment for you to begin. So one of the things that you can use to start these spiritual conversations is to be ready when the problems of life occur. I was working in the hospital in the ICU one day, and one of my coworkers, Ron, didn't know him very well, but we had kind of gotten to be, you know, work friends a little bit. And we were sitting at the desk, and we were both doing our charting, and, you know, we chat. And some of the things, he started telling me about his family, and his he was having marriage problems with his wife, and he just didn't know how he would be able to stay married to her, that they just couldn't get along, and it was just breaking his heart, and they had a daughter. And my response to that was, well, you know, marriage is really, really hard, and that Forrest and I have been married for a long time, but, you know, we've gone through some rocky times. And the only thing that really has kept us firmly together as a couple is our faith in God, and how that faith, when we have looked to God as a married couple, it has taken the focus off of each other and put the focus on God, and it's helped make us stronger. And that's really why we're married. That's why we're so happy together. And the whole conversation took off. You know, he had used to go to church, and they hadn't gone anymore, and he thought maybe that was a good idea. And he and his family eventually came to church to visit. So that was one way that you can open a conversation. You listen and are in tune with those needs of people. Another thing you can do is listen for references in daily conversation about God or Jesus or prayer, anything that's remotely religious. You know, make your ears listen. You know, your ears should perk up. They're perfect opportunities to bring in your faith. Some of the examples that might be would be thank God, or, you know, somebody was looking out for me, or, you know, it was an answer to prayer. Those little tiny references could indicate to you that perhaps they're receptive to something spiritual, that you could begin this conversation with them. Some of the things that you could respond with could be, you know, well, you know, I really believe that God is alive, and He has really worked in my life, and He has blessed me in this way, or He has helped me in this way, or He's rescued me in this way. And then tell your story. Tell how God has worked in your life, because He's worked in every one of our lives. Another thing you might say is, you know, well, I believe that prayer is very powerful and that it's worked. And give an example of how prayer has helped you with your life. It's not, you all have something. We all have something that God has done for us. And that's what we're suggesting to you that you share. It's what God has done personally in your life. You know, these conversations may eventually lead to an opportunity to invite them to church or to invite them to study.
And sometimes shared experiences with people, for instance, in everyday activities. It may be with your children or a common hobby or something in the neighborhood you're doing. Maybe the thing that provides a common bond. An example of this was there was a church couple that met another couple in soccer. Their children were playing soccer together. And as they visited week in and week out, they started talking about the church that they were attending and enjoyed the church. And this other couple was very interested in it, and so they invited them to go to church. And I'm sure that this has happened a lot. But they went ahead and attended the church, and they liked what they saw. And subsequently, they started studying the Bible at the church and became members. This individual is now a deacon in the church, very active, one of the strongest members in our church, and it's an incredible thing to see how the family went from, I mean, knowing nothing about the Bible to where he's an extraordinarily active member in the church. And it all started because of this common interest in soccer with their children. Another example is we were hosting a den meeting with our Cub Scouts my son was in our group, and we had another, a single mother with her child was in our group. And one of the church members came over to our house, and we were talking about some church ministry during the den meeting, and she was just kind of listening in on what we were talking about with our ministry group, and she started asking us about the church, and she was very interested in all the details about our church. And she subsequently started going to our church, and we then studied the Bible with her and her son, and she became a Christian and a part of our church as well. And so sometimes these little things, these little events that you do that are common with people open the door for you to share your faith. And it starts out with the relationships that you have with people that then are door openers. And tomorrow what we want to do is give you an actual Bible study methodology where, you know, once you start with the relationship, then you get to the practical part of how to actually conduct the study.
Another thing you can do is frequently make casual references to either your church activities or to God or Christianity, and you never know that people are listening. I was working one night, the night shift, this is quite a few years back, and typically the night shift in the hospital I worked at was younger people. And I was working with this one young woman, and she was probably about 24, and had really never, in my wildest dreams, never would have thought she'd be interested. You know, she was living with her boyfriend, and they talked about all the kind of sex that they had, and she was a partier, you know. And in my mind, she was just one of those people that would never, ever be interested in Christianity. And so, truly, I had blown her off in my mind. I mean, she was a sweet girl, you know. We had, you know, casual friendship at work, but nothing particular. One night, I worked in ICU, and there was one patient. And so when you have one patient in ICU, you have to have two nurses, because if you have to do CPR, then you have to have two people. So it was she, myself, and Dolores. And it was a quiet night, and this patient was very stable, and so this patient was sleeping. Well, that's a bad thing on the night shift, because you get really sleepy. So we had nothing to do. You know, the patient was fine. We were sitting there, and we were just chatting. And, you know, through the course of my work, I had, you know, referred to, like, Vacation Bible School or, you know, well, I need to go to church on Sunday, or just very innocent comments that really had never brought anything up in particular. That night, she said to me, well, you know, I think I was talking about VBS, in fact. And her comment to me was, I don't go to church as much as I should. And that's all it took. I was off and running. And we must have talked about an hour that night about church and Christianity and faith. And she was from a denomination that was very different from ours and, you know, really had not, she'd never studied the Bible. And so I invited her to study the Bible. And we studied the Bible for quite some time before she finally moved. But, you know, I never, ever in a million years would have picked her as being interested. And how often do we blow people off thinking that they're not interested? And she never would have brought that up to me if I hadn't mentioned something about God, if she hadn't realized that I had a faith. And she came out and said that to me, and, you know, I just consider that a miracle, you know? And we're God's vehicles. I mean, we're His voice on earth, and we have to get over this fear so that we can speak about it.
Another thing you do is listen for life changes. Somebody might have a new child. There might be an illness, a new marriage, financial problems, job loss, death, divorce, or retirement. And you might hear these kinds of statements. What am I supposed to do with my time now that I'm retired? Or my children are all grown? How am I going to make it now that my spouse is gone? Why is God letting this happen to me? I can't pay next month's rent. I have no idea what to do with this baby or how to be a parent. What if my loved one doesn't make it? My husband left me for another woman. And these types of things come up in your life where you meet somebody and they share with you these kinds of statements or related statements, and you can speak to those things. Sometimes you may not be able to speak to them, or you may not be able to handle them with financial resources, but you can plug them into the resources within the church to help them or other resources and fulfill the need. But what that does is by fulfilling the need, it fulfills the need that, like Christ did in ministering to people. And what Christ did was he ministered to people, and when he fulfilled their need, then they started following him. And they came face to face with the Master. They got their need met, and then they came face to face with the Master and discovered he was much more than somebody who fulfilled their physical needs. They discovered God in the flesh. And that's what the goal is to find God in the flesh, this Jesus. And that's what you do with fulfilling these areas. And you then have the opportunity to help move this person into the relationship that they really are seeking. And so all of these opportunities that where maybe you are fulfilling a need is maybe it helps them initially. You then have the idea that you take them beyond that.
And, you know, people today typically have no idea what the Bible says. Even if they go to church, there are many, many churches that don't emphasize that. And so you can share a favorite verse with them. You may not know what to say. I mean, the changes that we talked about, I mean, those are life changes. And you encounter that and you think, well, what do I have to offer? What can I possibly say? I mean, their loved ones in the ICU and dying. You know, what can I possibly offer? But you can offer to pray with them. You can share a verse with them that has given you comfort. You can share how God has comforted you, perhaps in a similar situation. Because, you know, we're called to comfort with the comfort that we're given. And God has provided for us, and then we can in turn use that to provide for other people. We had a family that just came to church one day out of the blue. They had a distant Church of Christ connection. And it was a young woman and her husband, and there were cousins, and there was a whole group of them. And they have recently lost their 2-year-old child. Now, you know, there are many people who respond to that loss with, how could a God, a loving God, allow an innocent 2-year-old to die? Well, this family had the complete opposite reaction. This mother wanted to know everything she could because her child was in heaven, and she wanted to make sure she was going to go there too. And the entire family studied and was baptized. There was like 7 or 8 of them. And so these are opportunities to present Christ to people. And again, not everyone is going to be receptive, but you can throw these little tidbits out there and watch for their reactions. And those people who want it are going to respond positively to you, and it's going to allow you to be able to speak to them.
You know, work is a place where you have an opportunity to be salt and light for people. And people watch you and your life in where you work. They also watch your marriage and your interaction styles. And Patty's a nurse, and she's shared her faith a lot with nurses. And there was one coworker that she was talking with and about her faith and invited her to study the Bible with Patty and I, and so that was what we did. And well, her older sister kind of suspected us as being a member of a cult, so she came and joined us for the Bible study that night to check us out to make sure we weren't, you know, corrupting her younger sister. And so she sat there that night during the Bible study. We were studying the book of Luke, and she sat there and she didn't say a word. No emotion on her face at all. And she sat there and just looked like we would never see her younger sister again. And we went through the study, and I thought, uh-oh, this is not good. So they left. And so next week or so, we subsequently found out that she was so impressed with the way that Patty and I interacted together. Her older sister was so impressed that she wanted to go ahead and start studying the Bible with us as well. And so her and her sister studied the Bible with us, and her older sister was baptized before her younger sister and started studying the Bible with her. Subsequently, her husband was just a really devout atheist, and she decided that she really couldn't live with her husband. And because of the way the relationship was going, it was just really not working out. So she divorced her husband. As a Christian woman, she says, I just can't live with him, the way it's working. So she started going to church. She was out of town. She wasn't living in town. So we hadn't heard from her for a long, long time. And one time she called back and she says, guess what? My husband became a Christian and we remarried. So her husband, who was a non-Christian, became a Christian, and it was a beautiful thing. So, I mean, it's amazing to see the power of God in this situation. So people look at your marriages and how you interact together, and you have no idea that they're watching you. They look at how you work, and it's you'll have no idea what they're doing. So anyway, that's just one example.
And just so you know, we didn't advocate she leave her husband.
No.
that was
her own situation. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing is, you know, be ready for unexpected situations in which you might pray or share. I had my daughter Caitlin when she was much younger. We were at Girl Scout camp. Well, I don't know if you've ever taken a bunch of 11 and 12 year old girls, but there wasn't a lot of peace that weekend. And we were in this huge cabin, and all the girls were sleeping on the floor in their sleeping bags. And you know, we tell them, do not have food in the cabin. Okay, we told them. They had brought these bags of candy and chips and popcorn and everything, and, you know, it was in their sleeping bags. It was all over the cabin. And so we'd gone to this campfire. It was, you know, probably 9 o'clock at night. It was late. The girls were tired. We walked back to the cabin with our flashlights, and we opened the door, and they see this giant rat, this big. Now, they said it was like this big, okay? They would all swear it was this big, running through the across the back of the cabin. Well, hysterical. Tears. We had one girl that didn't get out of the car that night. She slept in the car with her mother. I mean, they were absolutely beside themselves. You know, and how do you calm this group of girls? And so we all went into this other cabin where they hadn't been eating and took our sleeping bags, so we were just, you know, packed in together that night. And they couldn't go to sleep. They were scared to death because, you know, they kept seeing shadows and rats running on the ceiling, and they were just convinced that this giant rat had followed them. And so finally I said to the girls, I said, you know, when I get scared and I can't make myself go to sleep, I pray and I ask God to help me, because I know that he's right here in this cabin with us and he will help us not be afraid tonight, because we need to go to sleep. I really needed to go to sleep. And so I said a prayer, and, you know, it was just a very generic, you know, blessing, you know, asking God to help the girls not to be afraid and all of that. And one of the little girls even said, well, can I pray too? And so she said a prayer. So they finally settled down. We went to sleep. The next morning, as I was walking to the showers, another adult from another cabin, we joined in. We were walking to the bathroom together. And she said, you know, I was outside your cabin last night, and I heard what you did with those girls. I heard your prayer. And she said, that was wonderful. You know? And so people are paying attention. They hear that. It's not a common thing for people to say in this world, let me pray with you. And it's effective. You know, they may not know how to pray. They may never have prayed. The prayers that they say may be the written, you know, rote prayers that they've learned as a child. And they don't know Jesus, and they don't know how to talk to him just as a friend like we do. And so you can be a blessing to them by teaching them how to do that, by demonstrating that to them. And it can be very effective. And, you know, I've never had somebody say to me when I've asked them, can I pray with you about this? I've never had them say no, because what do they have to lose, right? You know, they're gonna take you up on that for the most part. And it's a beautiful thing, because prayers, we know, are powerful, and we believe in them.
One of the things that is increasingly occurring in churches, of course, as you know, is outreach ministry activities to develop relationships and open opportunities to share. And we had developed a preschool ministry in our church that has really been a blessing to the community, and not only the teachers who are teaching that are not as members of our church that are teaching in our preschool ministry, but also the families that join us in the church weekly to bring their children, that are in the church to see the Christian examples, but also who have subsequently joined us in worship on Sundays because they love our worship service. And so outreach ministries can be very effective. You may have a singles ministry, a divorce recovery ministry, or coffee house, anything that can bring people in and that provides an opening for you to begin to share faith. One of the things that I do, too, is I look for Christian symbols that people wear. It may be a cross. It could be an ichthys, a fish, a rainbow. Could be wearing three nails as a symbol that they wear, or an alpha and omega, three circles. It could be a dove. Anything that you see that they're wearing as jewelry, look for that type of symbols on them. But typically, it may be a cross. Now, a lot of people who are non-Christians or nominal Christians or unchurched will wear a cross. More of the devout will wear some of the more complex symbols. But I had one person that wore a cross, and I said, "Oh, what church do you go to?" Good door opener. And she said, "Well, I don't go to church." And I said, "Oh, okay." But we started talking, and I was telling her about what church I went to and everything. And she says, along the conversation, she started telling me about anxiety, because she's a student and I was a professor. And so we were just talking about anxiety, about test taking and things like that. And I said, "You know, the Bible talks about anxiety." So I opened up Philippians chapter 3 and said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication." And she says, "Oh, I didn't know that was even in the Bible." And so she got her Bible from home and started using that scripture to help her deal with the problem of anxiety. And it was a remarkable thing, because people don't realize that they can actually find scriptures that can help them deal with some of the problems of life. Subsequently, you know, I studied with her more and she became a Christian. But we look for those symbols, because those are door openers as well. There are people that are looking for a church, and they will sometimes come to your church building, and they're exploring. They see the sign in front of your church, and they have been driving past it, and they're curious about it, so they come in at the door, and they're a guest for the day. They may actually be seekers, and it's an opportunity for you to get to know them, and for them to get to know you. And it's our opportunity to jump on it. And so one thing is to try and work that and get to know them and develop a personal relationship with them, and to take it beyond the them being more than simply a guest. We had one individual that we studied with who became a Christian because of that. And it was because he simply was driving past the building and was curious about it, and his mother subsequently became a Christian as well. And one thing multiplies to the next thing to the next thing. And we've had a number of instances where people have come in the door looking for a church and have subsequently become Christians.
You know, we have to become more comfortable talking about our spirituality. We have to become more comfortable opening our mouth and sharing our faith with people. And one of the ways you can do that is by practicing telling your story. Okay, we all have one. I mean, you're sitting here because Jesus has touched you in some way. So you may not be a Bible scholar that you can sit down and, you know, find verses easily. That may be intimidating to you, but you can share what God has done in your life. And you can practice telling that story, and I suggest that you do. I suggest you get with somebody that you love, that's a fellow Christian, that's supportive, and you tell them your story of faith. You tell them how God has touched your life, how Jesus has changed you. Talk about the impact that the Holy Spirit has made in your life, and do it with somebody that you love, that's not going to be critical of you, that's not going to judge you, somebody who will say, "Yeah, I agree, God has been great to you." And then they can practice telling their story back to you. Because once you practice this, it's going to prepare you to share it with somebody else. When that opportunity comes, you will have already looked at what God has done for you. And, you know, I don't think a lot of times that we do that. I don't think that we are very introspective as people. You know, we're a busy society, and we're watching TV, and we have this activity, and our schedules are very full, and we're into work. And I don't think we spend enough time being introspective. And so to be able to look within yourself and identify what God has done for you and be able to verbalize that, maybe to write it down, and make a point of saying, okay, this is what God has done for me. Then when you have the opportunity, you know what you're going to say because you know what that story is. You've already spoken it. And, you know, it's going to strengthen your faith by doing that because you're going to actually be looking and saying what God has done for you. Now, although we'd like to tell you that every person that you open this spiritual conversation with, every person you talk to about Christ, is going to be receptive and it's going to listen and it's going to result in a Bible study. You know, we know that that's not the case. And there are many people that we've started spiritual conversation with that, you know, it's a wall. You can see it go up immediately and they're not interested. And you just have to know that it's time to move on, that it's not a reflection on you. And I think that's part of this fear is that we have to get past the point of thinking that it's about us because it's not about us. It's about Christ. And when they're rejecting the message, they're rejecting the message. They're not rejecting us personally. And even if that relationship is altered in some way, you've done what God called you to do. It was on your heart to speak to that person. So even imperfect words, God can use. But we have to, you know, you're going to encounter people that just aren't interested. There was a coworker that a young woman, and she was sharing with me that she and her husband were having difficulties with infertility. And she was just heartbroken. And if you've ever experienced that yourself or someone you love has experienced it, there is nothing worse than wanting so badly to have a child and not being able to have one. And that was something Forrest and I had. We had dealt with infertility. And so I felt like it was a something I could use to bring up spiritual conversation with her. So, you know, I shared with her about our struggles with infertility. And then I said, you know, I'd like to share a couple of scriptures with you that helped me when we were going through this. And she let me share them. And, in fact, I even had her over to lunch and said, you know, so I can share these scriptures with you. And she came and she let me share the scriptures. But she was just like, wasn't buying it. You know, she wasn't interested. And I said, you know, I really think that, you know, this is what helped me. This is what helped Forrest and I through this. And then when we were able to finally have a child, we now can raise our child to know who God is. And, you know, we prepared ourselves for this. And, you know, I gave her all these things that had helped me, and she wasn't having any of it. And she never outright said, I'm not interested. But she was not receptive. And so, you know, I said, well, if you ever come to the time when you'd be interested in doing this, you know, any time, you know, let me know. And every once in a while, you know, a couple of more times, I guess, over the course of the next year, I brought up something. I said, well, you know, remember that if you're ever interested in sitting down and studying, that, you know, I would love to do that. And she would say yes and was polite, but she just wasn't interested. But I had done what I needed to do, you know, and it was up to her. And so, you know, it's important that we're not pushy. And, you know, I didn't change the way I treated her. We remained friends. I wasn't judgmental to her. I didn't try to make her feel bad. But I made this open-ended offer. I said, you know, if you ever run into a time when you are interested or you feel like this would be something that you would like to do, please tell me because I would love to sit down and talk with you about this. But, you know, look for opportunities to offer it again later. But don't be discouraged.
You know, another area of difficulty is encountering someone who's just maybe potentially just simply argumentative. And I've worked with a lot of people in my department who are Muslim. And you know, I'm not just pointing on a particular group. It could be Buddhist or any number of groups that are of a different religion. And you have to have good relationships with them and you work with them. And I've taken the opportunity to talk. And one of the things is you could take two approaches. One of them is that you could debate and have argumentative approach to the thing. The other idea is to take a different strategy. And my strategy is to find as many areas of agreement as possible with that individual. Okay? So Muslims have great family values, and so do Christians. We believe the same Old Testament God. There are many points of agreement that we have with Muslims. And so what I would do is I would share as many things. And one of the things is that they begin to respect you for what, as a Christian, for what you believe. And as a person, as a human being, they respect you. Now, as their respect for you grows, and as you work with them, and you show your consistency as a Christian worker, throughout the days and weeks and years, then you can begin to bring up more controversial issues, like, for instance, sin and forgiveness, because they have a different concept of sin and forgiveness. The Muslim versus the Christian God, there are differences in that. I mean, they say that it's the same God, but we have differences. Sacrificial systems, and Abraham versus Christ, and talking about differences in that. And so you can begin to bring up more controversial issues, and they'll still respect you. And the goal is that you keep sharing your faith in small ways along the way, hoping that God will open up a door of opportunity for you to really touch them in a way that can introduce Christ in a consistent way that they become a Christian. Now, this is a really tough nut to crack, and it's not guaranteed, but you develop respect, you work with them, and you share as much as you possibly can with the hope that God will open up the door. Now, another one has to do with atheists. And the point is, you could argue and debate on scientific areas. And the point that I try and do is to find as much agreement as possible with them and respect. And I've worked with lots of atheists as a scientist. And I've had to work with them and live with them in the sense of being with them every 40 hours a week is a long time to work with atheists. And so that's what I try and do, is work with them. So we're going to conclude this. So in conclusion, what we found and what we talked about here is that Paul was fearful at times, but God provided what he needed to share his faith. And that has been shown in Scripture. What we need to do is look for opportunities to speak about God as we get to know people. You know, we are surprised, I think, a lot of times to find that more people are seeking God than we realize. And you can't plan for how you're going to respond to people, because no two people are the same. There's really not a methodology out there. It's really more your heart and listening to what they're saying, and then letting the Holy Spirit within you respond appropriately to what they say, to open up your mouth, to say something, and then listen to what they say, and then respond back, and listen to what they say, and respond back, to develop the relationship. And, you know, I pray when I'm speaking to them. Internally, I'm praying. The third one is practice to tell and how to tell your story. Learn to tell your story of faith. And then the next lesson we're going to do is how to conduct a Bible study. And we're going to give you a practical tool on how to do that and some ideas about when people don't immediately respond to the gospel, how do you handle that? Okay, thank you.
If anyone would like a copy of our notes, they could email us and we'd be happy to send it to you. Our email address is F as in Frank, L as in Love, Smith, the number 4, @juno.com.